This episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Urban Sailor Coffee, located at 1327 East, 2100 South in Salt Lake City, Utah. Mindful Coffee Company is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST to receive 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, guys, we are enjoying this episode, which is probably I'm going to name Brazilian Brewers Barbecue. Does that sound right?
Yep, perfect.
Because we are at the Marcio's home, and Marcio, you made the best fucking Brazilian barbecue we've ever had of all time.
Thanks.
Thank you. Don't say thanks. So. And then Jason, you made awesome Brazilian desserts that it's your first attempt and it was Brazilian approved. Yep. 90% of the Brazilians delicious. Here approved, right?
I think 90%.
Totally approved. Bad. I love it.
Yeah. So here
what
I
are
have,
they called?
What was that?
What was my dessert?
What was it called?
Brigadeiro.
Brigadeiro. Yeah.
Good job. Well done, man. The pistachio one is my jam.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Love that one. I think, it was great. Chad Hopkins, you're here as well. Jason Stock, Marcio, Clay. Clay, welcome, dude. Sorry for surprising you with the podcast.
Well,
you
happy to do it. Happy to be here.
But I want to go across the table and say what's going on. Like, Clay, what's new in Ketos? What's going on?
Man, we're just chugging along. Working on new brands, trying to keep things exciting. Nothing crazy specific right now, but got a couple new IPAs coming down the line.
Hell yeah.
Some experimental hop ones that should be awesome.
Hell yeah. Marcio, what's going on? What's new, man? How's Shays going?
Shays doing okay. Started distributing outside state in a few states, mainly Montana, Idaho, a little bit California, Colorado. Opened really well last week. And we're coming strong in the IPAs game this year. So
good, brother.
Still on the pie, still the crazy beers, but a few IPAs coming.
That's awesome.
Also, this year, and continue to expect great shit coming.
Good. That's what I want to hear, man. Also, you texted me a couple days ago. 2 years ago, we recorded an episode in the studio in Orem back in the day. Right after the earthquake happened, we released the earthquake series on the podcast. And, dude, that's 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Is that insane?
This week. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
We released more to celebrate the earthquake.
Yeah.
So this last release was an earthquake beer we brought back to celebrate the 2 years of the shaking earth.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So, well, congrats. I'm glad you're doing well, brother.
Was really rough time.
Yeah.
First earthquake for me, at least. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
Now we're here.
Hell yeah. And then we have a legend here who doesn't like to be called a legend, but we got Jason Stock. Jason Stock.
Not a legend.
Oh, I mean, we've been telling the folklore stories here about you all day today, and how things going over this squatters?
Great.
Good.
Yeah. It's an interesting time to be there for sure. I mean, I think people know about, the buyouts and whatever, but I don't know. My day-to-day is essentially the same, and I'm still making the beer I make at the pub. And
hell yeah.
Excited to get back into getting some of the sour beer releases out.
That's good. I was going to ask you one question because everyone's asked this question. Everyone wants to know this question. Are we going to see a Monster Seltzer or Monster Hazy?
It's above my pay grade.
Good to know. And then we got Chad Hopkins. Chad!
Hey.
I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
It's good seeing you. Thanks for making all the way out here and hanging out and having some Brazilian barbecue.
That's so good. Thank you, Marcio. Very delicious. I'm very full.
How you been, man?
Busy. Good. We're just doing what we can with our little tiny brewery, and we're having a hard time keeping up, but doing what we can.
Good,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Things are good.
Yeah, we're having fun. So.
Good, man. I like that. Any cool trips you have planned coming up?
We've got CBC, Craft Brewers Conference, coming up, going to Minneapolis. So, a couple of us are going there here, so.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I've never been there other than the airport, and the airport had a really good beer bar, so
So, hey,
I know there's some good breweries there.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited for you guys. Marcio, I was going to ask this question. What's that style of, what's the cut of meat we had today?
So it's called Brazilian picanha, or just picanha for me. It's a picanha. It's like a top sirloin with the fat on top, just salt and beef, nothing else.
Yeah, we were all watching you cook this meat, and it was simple. And you came out and said, yeah, you don't need any sauces. And we all looked at each other like, what the hell? Yeah. And literally, no sauce needed.
Nope.
No A1 sauce. It was delicious, man. Thank you. And we've been opening great beers the entire time. I want to talk about Shades beer that's on the table. Let's break that one down real quick. What's the one you brought for us today, Marcio?
Okay, I just brought you guys the blueberry. It's called Blueberry Apricot Blueberry Peach Cobbler. It's brewed with all these three fruits plus cinnamon, graham crackers, and vanilla. Tastes like cobbler.
Yep.
With all these fruits on. It's just an upgrade of our traditional peach cobbler. It's here available. And this is one off that we just put some blueberry and apricot, and was, in my opinion, it was delicious.
Did you enjoy this one?
I like this one.
Hell yeah, I like that. Yeah. Hell yeah. What do you got in the class there, Jason?
This? Yeah. Juicy IPA. But I love that beer. That was actually really nice. Yeah.
I like it. Hell yeah.
Reminded me of grandma.
Grandma
peach
cooking,
cobbler,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask, Clay, since you're here, I was going to ask you this question.
All right.
What's some goals you have for Ketos in brewing this year, 2022?
Ooh, that's a good question. Right now, my focus is mostly on improving process. We got a new canning line in 2021, and I feel like I'm still dialing in, getting our DO levels as low as possible. So it's a lot of process related stuff. And then I really want to get my hands on some new experimental hops. Feel like I've let the hops at Ketos. We've been sticking with the ones that I've been comfortable with. And I think it's time to get outside my comfort zone a little bit with, and
you,
just
man.
Bringing in new hops.
Good for you.
New
I
hops
like
into
that.
Our profile, and kind of locking down all of our processes at Ketos to make sure that the beer is staying the way it should taste.
I'm okay with that. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So we have a bajillion beers at the table. Which beer do you want to open up today and break down real quick with all of us brewers here?
Oh, man. We have a lot on the table. You know what? The one that I really want to try is something Chad brought. I want to try that Brettanomyces beer from Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a chance to try that one yet.
I haven't tried this yet.
Hey, Chad, give us a little details on that if you have any, if you know about it at all.
Well, I remember Colby did something like this last year and it was amazing. And they did again. I think this is pretty similar to the one they did last year.
Yeah, so this one, I know he used a Trappist style yeast. Ooh. It's a Belgian Brett beer.
Uh huh.
And so he let it go, did two different yeasts with it. He let it go down a couple with the Belgian yeast, and then all of a sudden finished it with Brett. And I remember when it first came out, and I enjoyed the fuck out of it, but seeing it can now, I'm curious to see how it's held up after it's been about a month since they released it, because they had their 5-year anniversary. And yeah, because Brett beers are always, I think it's a brewer's beer, right? Can everyone agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like? Yeah.
Have you guys had this one, Jason, Marcio,
nope.
Clay?
No. I have had last this year thing, but not this year. No.
Yeah, I'm glad he did it again, because that was awesome last year.
Does anybody else feel like you can always tell Brett beers by the foam?
Yeah.
They always have. Just the foam looks so different to me with Brett beers.
They always have big bubbles.
Big bubbles.
See, that this funk, I keep telling you guys, like, that's what I want to capture in a candle. Clay?
Yeah, that's really nice.
It's nice when Brett does the short time versus when they do the long time in barrels.
Yeah.
It's two different beers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brett can do transformations there. Insanely good, but also can transform a short beer like this into something amazing.
Yeah.
No, Brett can do different things at different times.
Yeah, Brett does Brett things, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, you could sit on this for a while and it could change quite a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at Keto's. I have an old little half barrel that I have actually from something I made at home a long time ago. And I blended, I wish I could even remember, but I blended like 6 strains of Brett into a half barrel keg with just a simple golden ale. And I found that keg in the back of Keto's this week and sprayed it off with the hose because it had just dust all over it. It was behind our cold room and just collecting dust, and pulled it out, and it was this just like brilliantly clear, fully carbonated Brett beer that I'd just forgotten about, and it was
nice.
It's so good.
Did you dap it?
I poured a few samples for the people that were there, and I still have this full half barrel of 8-year-old Brett beer, and I don't know what we're gonna do with it, but
definitely
it's delicious.
Definitely something by.
yeah, I want to taste that.
I have a keg of stout in my basement that we should probably tap. Something like that. Well, Outer Darkness has just been sitting in a fucking keg under my stairs.
I have a keg of ether in my backyard right now. Look at us.
yeah,
just waiting for these kegs to come over here.
So we need a Brazilian barbecue.
You're not hearing this.
I would love it to see how that's aged. Like, we're talking about Brett beer. Like,
that's gonna be really interesting.
Yeah, did you enjoy it?
I really did, and it got me thinking of like a future Brett projects at Keto's. I'm not gonna run that through the canning line, but
yeah, probably 5% would be fine.
Some draft stuff for sure.
Stuff, yeah.
Hell yeah, I like that. Well, I'm excited. Now we gotta go to Keto's. I mean, not at Keto's, but Chad, have you Brett beer sitting in barrels right now? Correct.
We have a couple of funky little guys, and then, we have 4 barrels and, like, some little carboys and stuff, just little projects, and we're just kind of letting them sit there until we're kind of ready, until we have the time to get to
them.
Gotcha. When I homebrewed, that was kind of my thing, was doing Soleras and funky wild fermentation, so love doing that stuff. Throw some fruit in here and there, whatever.
Yeah. I want to see a Hopkins Brett beer. That'd be super cool.
Yeah, so one day we'll open those barrels.
That's
up.
The big advantage of you guys. No packaging. So,
yeah,
go to the lines and put good beer in the lines, and who cares, right? You clean the lines, move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fine. Yeah.
I like that. Hey, Jason, have you messed with Brett beers at all before?
Not really, technically, no.
Yeah.
I mean, our Fifth Element 529 arguably are leaning that way. We got the original cultures from. Give me here all afternoon. Great. from New Belgium.
Oh, cool.
Our initial cultures for both of those. Yeah.
Nice. Were
from those guys. So, they just hang out in the basement and do what we can with them.
Yeah. Wow. So, Marcia, what do you think one of your Brett beers or Brett would do with one of your sour beers?
I wish to have the same thing of, Clay Kiddos. I'm not going to run Brett to my canning line at all. Never, ever. The aesthetics will never change. Never touch that thing. If I can avoid, I will avoid. It's hard to kill. And if that goes to your beer, it's a big problem. I wish we could do something. We just bought a 5-barrel brew house
to
do our pilot batches.
Oh, yeah?
So we're going to get installed in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe I can play around there, but it's going to be a 5%. It's going to be draft only.
Gotcha.
I have enough resources to buy a different canning room, canning machine, canning lines, canning everything, hoses. I'm not touching Brett. Yeah. Or diastatic is in my facility.
What would you think about one of you, like, let's say the Tonka Thai or the Peach Cobbler, like throwing a little Brett in it one of these days? I mean, like, let's put it aside. Could you see what Brett would do with that?
I would like, if I have the opportunity, I would like to do some saisons and throw those flavors on the saisons, on the aesthetics things, and see how they're going to come up out after. Imagine saison with those lemongrass, galango, coconut notes of the Thai.
That'd be good.
That is why I'm like, okay, that I would do it, but I will not put a saison yeast in my process. So one day, maybe soon, we're going to have a saison yeast that it's GMO and there's no STA1 gene. Then I can work on that and do all the enzymes in the mash. So it's going to be dry. And then he used the yeast, and then, yes, maybe. I'm working on it.
Oh, hey, we heard it here first, I think. It would be a great thing to come out in the future. So, Jason, what's some of your favorite Brett beers you've ever had, top of your mind? You think about it?
You bastard. Colby's is nice.
Yeah.
This is a cheap answer. God.
I know I put you on the spot. I apologize, man.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just a little foggy. Yeah.
So we've been drinking a lot of really good beer for a couple hours here.
And that pineapple is just ridiculous, Marcio. God. I'm never going to Carnos ever again. Sorry. You ruined me.
Tucano's didn't hear from me.
Or what's the other one called? Rodizio Grill?
Rodizio, yeah.
I'm not going there either.
Oh, but no. Rodizio is great. Shout out to Osman.
Or let's just come here. There's a pool. There's TV. Good company.
We can become this official summer spot for this podcast. Okay.
So we're going to do a summer podcast outside in Marcio's.
Yes, it's a good spot.
Chad, you okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
So, gentlemen, I say, Jason, what's the next beer you want to open?
What isn't open?
We've got this.
Let's open James's.
James, oh, is that Solera? A James beer?
Ooh. Yeah, so it's James Weed's Black Solera.
I've loved his beers, yeah.
Yeah, so Chad, you still have that wanky...
Can you guys tell me which beer is this?
Yeah, well, you guys open that. Let's see how this bad boy is going. James, I don't know this to complete, so he made a bunch of this.
I think it's the Latter Day Brewers barrels, right?
I know he's got those sitting at Solstice. I'm not sure if this is that, though.
Huh.
So I got a red from him and then a black he gifted to me. And this is like, this is a great opportunity. I'm like, you know what? This is going to be something that we can open it for. I'm excited for this one. Have you guys tried one of James's homebrewed Soleras once before?
Oh, yeah. It came out of one of the Latter Day Brewers barrels.
Gotcha.
It was good. It's had some good ones.
It has been a while since last time I'll be in the Latter Day Brewers meeting.
Are they still going strong?
Yeah. I hope it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a little seminar at the Hop.
True.
A few weeks ago, maybe. That was quite a bit of people there. About 20? I don't know, that's fun.
I know COVID impacts them a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
It's hard, right? You are a home brewer. You meet in the homes of people or a brewers. So it was kind of hard to get everybody together during this pandemic. I hope they come strong after this.
Yeah. How does one become a member of this? Is this a kind of a home brewing club only?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reach out. I was the president for 2 years.
Oh, shit. I had no idea.
That's where Marcio and I met, actually.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Latter-day Brewers meetings.
I cannot say this enough, but Clay was my mentor. Him and Ryan Buxton was the two guys that got my pale ale, I don't know how many years ago, seven, eight years ago. And the guy like, dude, you have potential here. Just dry hop the shit. You're going to be good. And him and Ryan Buxton at the time, they're working together at Epic. And they're like, yeah, do it. And I'm like, okay, I did. And yeah, it changed the beer and for a long time changed my life.
That's awesome.
For how like this guy is like, instead of being like, oh, this beer sucks. No, like, hey, you have potential in this. Do something else. You're going to get great. Do this and do that. And this is why I cannot stress to say this. Clay and Ryan Buxton was my two guys that always teach me stuff.
Hell yeah.
My mentors. Thanks, at the time. You've returned the favor a million times since then. But yeah, if anybody listening to this is into homebrewing, look up Latter Day Brewers. I think Tim is the president these days.
Uh-huh. Tim is the president right now.
I think there's been a lot of brewers that came through that group. It was, you know, Marcio, myself, Nils, Chris Dietrich. Everybody came through. A lot of people came through that club.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
They're fun.
That's huge. That's awesome.
Chad was there for a while. You were coming to meetings there for a little while, weren't you?
I came to a couple.
Yeah.
And for girls, also, there's a Hop Bombshell.
Right?
It's more like women driven.
Yeah.
Ogden, there's one as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ogden.
O-Town Hopheads. I went to a few meetings when I was living in Ogden. Yeah.
So there's a few homebrew clubs They always put good beers, good seminars, educational topics. So definitely.
We got to bring them over.
It's a way to start.
Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. So everyone's homebrewed here, right?
Used to.
Yeah. Used to homebrew. You guys don't really homebrew anymore, right? Because you guys have all professional. No. And
I mean, we still make 5-gallon batches here and there at Keto's. And I think that... I mean, I guess it's not technically homebrewing, but we're using old homebrew
equipment.
Advanced
homebrewing, yeah, I can see that.
Homebrewing with 180 degree water on demand, I guess.
Yeah,
in four grains.
Just a little bit of convenience. Yeah, we brewed a rice lager about a month ago on our small batch, the 10-gallon batch, and it's just getting kind of bored waiting for that 90-minute boil. And so I'm like, oh, I think an hour is fine. And then we kegged it and had some DMS. And so we're probably going to dump it.
Yeah.
But damn it. Yeah, that's probably okay. No.
Damn.
It wasn't.
I still have a lot of friends at homebrew, so I end up like supplying some hops and some yeast, some stuff like for the homebrewers. And or here and there, you ask for a favor, like, hey, I have this hop that I want to see what's going on. They got like, yeah, give it to me. I'll brew an IPA and see what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, we had some homebrewers come through Strap Tank asking for hops, and then one of them decided to use Kvike yeast, and instead of waiting 24 hours, waited 12 hours, and then pitched even more yeast, and it came past zero. Like, it just finished out from an 8% beer to probably like 16% beer. And that, boy, we tried it. Dear Lord. It was a good learning experience, right? Just gotta be patient.
It's nice how many mistakes you make in the homebrewer.
And you learn that way.
And end up like, yeah, why not? I'll drink this. It's a homebrewer,
good.
Right?
It's good to do it. Like, that's how you learn.
So what do you guys think about the Solera?
I dig it. It's a little less complex than some of the others to me. It's a little one note, but I like the note.
A little unidimensional on the sour side.
It's a little intense sour. On the sour.
Yeah. A little dry.
Yeah. I like sour, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, making my eyes water.
It's a little intense. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad and I got the same thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to bow out then. I like sour, like this kind of sour I'm into.
You're into? Mm. Yeah. Hell yeah. I like
it's
that.
Nice.
I can hang in there.
I don't taste any acetic. Or...
Yeah.
Hmm. I also have my glass had so much other things that I get. you remember that juice bomb we had earlier? It's still there. I'm like, juicy stuff in there.
Yeah, there's some left if you want some.
Oh, pass. I'm good on that one. Marcio, a question for you.
Cool.
Now that we have a bunch of brewers at one table, what's something you've always wanted to ask one of these gentlemen here at the table?
Well, I started talking to Jason today. Like, we met before, but we never had a chance to talk before. So I have a bunch of questions to him today.
Hit
it was
him.
Funny.
Hit him up.
Yeah.
Like, he loves being cut off guard.
Yeah.
His favorite
that's
thing
my
to
favorite
do.
Thing.
I always ask him a lot, like, and all the stuff. When they come with the Hazy Monster, all the stuff, of course. But also, have these guys at the table. Clay, we talk every week. So I already ask him everything. Chad, we have a chance to talk before. It was really cool. But Jason is the first time, like, really, like, sitting down and talking.
Oh, God.
And I always going to ask is, there's, like, it's small brew pubs, and you have the chance to do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like you can do whatever you want? Or you always have that thing, like, I shouldn't do that, but why not?
I love brewing at the level I brew at because, I can, within reason, I can do whatever I want. Ish. I always have to be conscious
of course,
will this sell? Will this be okay? But, like, I try to be, like, I just try to pay attention to the season, what's going on, and then kind of, like, what I'm into. And I miss Connor. When we brewed together, we would just... we just talk and be like, I don't know, what do you want to be drinking in a month, And it was fun. I love having that kind of the freedom of a pub brewery as opposed to having to worry about it being on the shelves in the store. It's very different, We 7 barrels is no big deal.
Brew whatever you want. How many of your brews over there, people really love to a point like, hey, this beer should go to the 300 West and this should be national brand?
Yeah, so...
not that you guys quite are R&D, but I mean, you develop a beer that...
Yeah, I mean, we've had like, like Bumper Crop, for example, one that was designed at the pub.
Oh, that's a good beer.
And then went to the big brewery, but apparently didn't do that good in the market because they stopped brewing it. But we're going to... I say we're... I'm only me at the pub now. I'm so used to having two people there, but I'm going to brew that in the next few weeks, so we'll have it at the pub again.
Nice.
And there's been quite a few. Wee Pete was another one, our Scottish Ale, developed at the pub.
Delicious.
And it got taken over to the big brewery. Full Suspension started at the pub. Chasing Tail started at the pub. Hop Rising technically started at the pub. That's a complicated story. But we brewed a beer called Hop Rising, very different than what is Hop Rising now. Outer Darkness started at the pub, you know. So it's fun. It's fun to have that freedom to, you know, I don't have to sit and think about all the financial stuff. I just kind of brew what feels good, which is nice. Not going to lie. I love that part of it. I don't think I'd fit in anywhere else. I'm very niche and probably in trouble because of that, you know, like just a little too niche. But yeah, I really like being able to just kind of, I fly by the seat of my pants a lot. I've literally come in the morning not knowing what I'm going to brew and go up to my grain room and kind of look around and like, throw this together.
It's pretty cool.
Brew it. And if you're doing 7 barrels at a time, I'm not worried about labels or, or whether it's going to hit in the market, you know? And so it's a nice freedom to have. Yeah.
It's a dream job.
It is a dream job.
It's exactly what we do at the hop, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's like,
hey, let's try this. What's 5 pounds per barrel hop. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't lie. I love it. Yeah.
What do we have?
Can use whatever malt. I don't have to worry about price per pound. It doesn't matter as much if 7 barrels.
Yeah. Selling direct to the public.
Yeah.
The margins are considerably higher, then you don't have to really think about that.
Yeah. Spoiled. Yes.
Spoiled. Yeah.
I like that. Great question, Marcio. You're welcome back anytime, homie.
Invite me.
Clay, question for you. What still excites you brewing?
What still excites me? There's constantly new hops. I know I already mentioned that, but there's constantly new ingredients too. And I know we've mentioned the homebrew scene, but the homebrew scene is also a very good source for inspiration. And it kind of goes back to what Jason was just talking about on even another scale. Like, homebrewers do not give a fuck how much things cost when they're making 5 to 10 gallons.
That should always be your mentality when you're homebrewing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great source for inspiration to see what the homebrewers are doing. So that's always exciting me, is checking that. But lately I've been nerding out on new equipment that we've been getting at the brewery.
That's really cool. Hell yeah.
But yeah, always checking the homebrew scene. That stuff is, if you're ever short of inspiration, check the homebrew scene, or honestly, go check out some random place to eat that you've never seen before.
Why is that?
I've always found good inspiration for beer from food.
Huh. Yes.
Like checking out a new restaurant or a food truck you've never been to. And it's it doesn't even necessarily have to be the flavors that you're eating in that meal. It's what do I want to drink that would complement this that I've never had before.
That. Yeah.
It's kind of getting outside your norm.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Jesus. I love you. I'm with Marshall. I love you. Chad, what still excites you about brewing?
You know, like we're a tiny little brewery, and that's just, it's like, what do we want to do? What's different? What can we do? Like, so it's still, we still have that homebrew mentality. I mean, there's two of us brewers and we're home brewers at heart. So, anytime we want to screw around with something or be experimental, like, let's do it.
Yeah.
But then we still have our 10 gallon system, you know, it's anything we want to do, anything we want to throw at it. Let's do it.
And you guys fly through beer. So it's really cool to see, it's cool to see the small batch series blowing up. You know, Matt has cool beers all the time and he's got free creativity when it comes to that. Is there a beer that he's made small batch wise that you just want to keep as like a permanent Hopkins beer, if you will?
Yeah, there's quite a few he's come up with, like the Rye Pilsner. That's one of my favorites of his, and eventually I would like to have that on tap at all times. But then he's got some weird ones he's done too, like the Steak Ale.
The Steak Ale, that one. That one's
that
great.
One's actually really good.
It's really good.
But I don't know, like, and it's fun because we also have the kitchen too, so we can kind of implement some of those beers into food or food into beers.
Yeah.
So, Matt's always got some stuff. Like, he brewed a Kolsch just a few days ago. It's like,
oh, yeah.
He was making a Kolsch. He's like, I want my own Kolsch. All right. Like,
hell cool. Yeah.
Go for it.
So. I like that. I like, you guys have great places, by the way. Each place is awesome.
How do you feel about a smoked Kolsch?
I love it. Didn't Cody do a smoked Kolsch? I think he
I don't know.
Do a smoked Kolsch.
Smoked Kolsch or Rausch beer?
Yeah. Yeah, he did a few variations of Kolsch, and he did a smoked Kolsch. It was a pretty small batch, but it was really good. I forget how I think he used James's Cherrywood smoked malt on that. I'll have to ask him, but Oregon, it was good. Yeah,
Oregon Craft of Bass of Craft was a silver medal for smoked beer. Was a smoked Kolsch. I'm like, okay, that is interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah. Huh.
I mean, I'd fuck with it. I'd drink it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'd try it. Marcio, what's the greatest struggle in brewing that you've had to overcome?
I always say, don't go to the financial side. When you go to the financial side, it's downhill from there. Keep on the good, nice side, like brewing, and don't worry about, like Jason and Chad has a little bit of both, I imagine. But don't go to the financial side, because when you go there and start seeing, like, for example, prices on cans going up, packaging going up, malt going up, and then all your prices going up, and you go talk to the distributor, and the guy like, no, you cannot raise your price, or yeah, you can raise your price, but we're gonna have to pass that to the consumer. When you get the financial side, that is the biggest struggle for us, at least in my side, Shades. We're a production brewery. That is the biggest problem right now, and it's what stresses us out. So you want to do a beer, you want to throw many pounds per hop, you want to throw all this fruit, and then you're going to have to look at the financial side because your production.
Yeah.
And we packaged. And by doing that, your costs go always to the roof. And that is what struggles to us to not. And then I go back to what Clay says. You have to focus in process, how to like be more efficient, less costly. So you're not that point where it was fun anymore. Like, hey, let's make beer. Let's whatever. This morning, what am I going to brew this morning? No, you get every morning like, how can I drop the cost down? How can
gotcha.
I make this more efficient? How can I make this process less costly, more profitable? Because we're competing with New Belgium, the guys that was acquired by Kering that's now putting a can of flat tire that $1.99.
Oh my God.
Six pack. So like, how can you compete with those guys? You can't. So you have to find another way to compete. So that is where the fun is over. You go for financial, and that stress you out.
So how are you overcoming that?
The way we are doing, unfortunately, inflation is here. We have to increase price in fuel products. So that's going to affect grocery store prices. And focusing other products that can have a little bit more margins, as for example, Kvikes, that we can make a little bit more margin because we sell to the state. Although the state take a big chunk of that, we still can make decent money. And focus in the pubs. We have the downtown facility going right now. We reopened the tap room, the South Salt Lake facility.
Oh, nice.
So that's the way you can try to overturn, but it's not the same. It's not when your costs go up to 50%, it's hard to go into market as production.
Yeah.
That's where the struggles happen.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Damn. Well, I think we're all kind of feeling that in a different ways when it comes to costs going up and all, definitely. You know, everywhere. Even gas. I mean, what the? I drive a Prius, I'm still like, fuck. Freight? Yeah, freight's out the ass. Yeah.
I used to pay $120 a pallet. Now I'm paying $500 from Chicago to here.
Yeah.
Dextrose, start on that.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Wow. Well, switching gears.
Sorry to be so depressed.
All right, Jason, I know
beer's going to get expensive.
Yes. Yeah. Prepare, beer's going to get expensive.
I talked to Jake at Mountain Malt, and he was saying, like, get ready.
Damn.
Yeah.
For 2 years in a row, they have really terrible harvest. So the malt, not only amount is going down, but quality. When I say quality, don't get me wrong, it's not quality total, but protein levels go up, which in costly more for the brewers to make that beer.
Yeah. Yep.
So
it affects all of us. That's for sure.
All of us.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So I had this idea about. I've always wanted to make a brown ale. And Jason, you made one of my favorite brown ales recently. I think it was a copycat of the Sam Smith. Like, you know, that was a great nut brown. It was fantastic. And I want to make one because my friend, one of our friends passed away. Her name was Bristol. And I wanted to make a Dr. B brown ale. I want to dedicate a beer to her. Have you boys ever dedicated a beer to someone? You made a beer with someone in mind for them and kind of maybe you know, like a little... Here's their name in the beer or anything? Have you thought of that?
I named a beer after my son.
Which one was that?
Caden's Irish Red.
Oh, gotcha. Nice.
My son's a redheaded beauty. Yeah, and he was very unimpressed when he was, I think he was 10 years old when it came out. I said, I named a beer after you. And he shrugged and like kind of rolled his eyes. I said, when you're 21, you'll think that's cool.
You'll think it's awesome. Marcio Clay, have you guys ever?
Just one question. Do you save a bottle for him when he turns 21?
5%.
You should save a bottle. Like, hey, here, it's beer.
Jesus, this is really shitty now. It's 20 years old. It's a 5% 20-year-old beer.
It might be good.
You know what's funny? Like he, so he's 20 now. And we were talking about beer, and he liked one from TF that I, sorry, Kevin, but like I did not like their guava Berliner Weiss. Just not my style, right?
Collaboration beer with me.
What's up?
What's a collaboration beer with me for the guild? Sorry, it's okay.
Here's honesty for you, right?
My version has mint.
I didn't say it's going to be way worse. Not my style, like way too fruity. But my son. So the youth, they love you. He's like, this is what me and my friends would drink this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that to me, it doesn't taste like beer, you know?
Beer flavored
like,
beer.
That's like fruity. It's a good drink. I was like, yeah, it's a great drink. But like, I don't think of that as like beer proper, which I'm maybe like an ornery old man about that.
Old school kind of thing. Yeah, I got you.
Now I'm all embarrassed because I didn't say it was a bad drink. I said to him, hey, like, this is not like, to me, this is not like.
Right,
like,
I get
no,
you.
That, that, no,
right.
That becomes a.
Yeah,
that,
but he doesn't like Hop Rising to my son.
No, right.
No,
that beer was collaboration, but Kevin changed a lot after that. Our collaboration was guava, coconut, and mint. And like, fuck mint. And he removed the mint from. So I put the mint in the barrels that went to the guild festival. But he like, no, I'm not putting mint on this. So that was the whole idea of that beer. Was a collaboration and no that. Mint.
Makes sense.
No. Clay. Well, I clearly didn't know that either.
Clay, did you ever name a beer after someone or honor in, you know?
Never. Back in my homebrewing days, I made a bunch of beers for like friends' weddings and stuff, but never anything like you're talking about.
Gotcha. I was like, I feel like it's not a thing anymore. I don't know. No. Chad, did you ever?
You've been
brewing for a while. Like, have you?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to. When my son was born, I wanted to brew a barley wine for him and hold on to it when he was 21. Like, I mean, brewed this when you were born. I was just so damn busy. I never had a chance to do it. So
I know Dietrich did the same thing. He did a barley wine for his son and a wheat wine for his daughter, I believe. Yes.
Oh, that's way cool.
He released it.
So he's dad of the year. We got it. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I'm calling you out right now.
Sorry, kids.
All right. So I say we open one more beer real quick before we go to break. Chad, you have a couple in your hand. What's the one you want to open, brother?
Well, Jason mentioned a Berliner Weiss. So we got one of my guests came in. He was from Boston. He's like, oh, brought me some Trillium beer. So we got an apple cider Trillium. Usually apple and beer is not a good thing. So trying to see if they
see the curiosity
intended
in this one.
It's an
apple cider Berliner Weiss?
Yeah. So it could be. Yeah. We'll find out. We'll find out if it's
good. It could be the greatest beer of all time, guys.
It could be, yeah.
We'll see if they made a mistake and played on that mistake or.
That is still my last barrier to be dumped. So when I started Shades, I have 3 barriers. And I said, I'm never going to brew a pumpkin beer. I'll never do a hard seltzer. And I'm never going to brew beer with apples. Well, Lively hard seltzer is in the market. Pumpkin pie is the 30 year I'm doing. I'm still holding on to apple beers.
You okay, homie?
Yeah, we went down. We tried to do a seltzer once, and I could not get it to attenuate. We finally got it to attenuate, and acetaldehyde. I'm like, oh, well, do we play on the green apple seltzer?
Green apple, yeah.
And I was like, no, let's just dump it. Let's not do seltzers. There's plenty of other breweries around making great seltzers.
It's not easy. I'm convinced that White Claw has something there that's can make that so fast, so clean all the time because it's not easy.
No. Oh, so, this is good.
This is good. But again, if someone had me said, this is a beer, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. That was my thought exactly.
This is more like a cider to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that it's a bad drink.
Like, no, yeah, you're
drink
right.
This for sure. I am drinking this for sure.
The whole point probably
but
is
when
like,
I think of beer, I don't think of beer for this.
Technically speaking, this like is to the point where you can call 49% of this is apple juice, 51% this is barley wort, and then you taste it tastes like cider.
Tastes like cider.
Yeah.
It's good, called beer. Nice aroma.
Good cider, mellow cider.
It's not like sour. Like the apple skin on the aroma.
Yeah, but it's not sour. Like it's called Barley of Ice.
Ask me. Do you want a beer and then hand me this?
Yeah. This is a lot sweeter than I would be like.
I'm with you on that one though.
Yeah. Very interesting.
This or might at least warn me. Like you're about to have a beer that is pushing the edges of the definition.
I got you.
This might be one thing that most of the breweries that makes those super thick fruity beers are doing. When you finish the beer, pasteurize the beer. Don't pasteurize, but add the fruits and then pasteurize it and canning. So this tastes for me a lot of sweet from the apple juice. So maybe this is the whole process. You brew a beer, mix with the juices, ferment, carbonated, and package. Because for a Barley of Ice, I was expecting some sourness.
Yeah, this is clearly not all fermented.
Yeah. Well, on that note, gentlemen.
Sorry.
Hey, it's good. This I can drink. I can drink, and this I can make. Yeah. Now, maybe you guys offer me that thing to break that last barrier.
Squatter, we had a beer like this. Do you remember that?
It was like apple a day or something.
Apple a day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Similar.
You add the juices at the end on the
Bright?
I honestly
don't know. They brewed it at the UBC. Probably. Yeah. I really don't know.
This is
only 4% too.
Yeah, this is a lot of sweetness. Yeah. This is why I think it's added to the end.
Style.
For me, I feel like this is a good cocktail mixing drink. Like, let's throw a shot of rum in there. You know what I mean? That's how I see.
Yeah. Do you want the rum? White? Spice?
Spice.
Tell me.
Then let's dab it.
But we got a full bar up there.
We're still warming up
for about an hour. We have the grill going right now. And we have pineapple. So anyway, so I think we're going to take a quick break because we're going to get some more beers from start stabbing because Clay, Jason, you guys know how to stab. We're going to stab some beers. Marcio, Chad, get ready to have your minds blown. Okay. A quick shout out to one of our most supportive sponsors, Hopkins Brewing Company. Located within the heart of Sugar House at 1048 East, 2100 South in Salt Lake, Hopkins has a wide variety of awesomeness, such as trivia nights on Tuesdays, incredible local live jazz Wednesday and Thursday nights, small batch beers on Friday, made by a local legend of a brewer, Matt Yeager, and brunch on the weekends. Hopkins is the place to be. They got awesome swag, you gotta go. All their food and beer is made from scratch with local and sustainable ingredients. While visiting Hopkins and upon checkout, use the code TASTEMASTERS to receive 15% off your ticket order, excluding alcohol, of course. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to receive 15% off one of the hottest spots in Utah. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. I'm totally recording, by the way.
Does anybody know where that comes from?
Yep. Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. Look at you guys. All right, gentlemen, we're back, and we have beers to stab.
Woo.
Marcio, you have three beers in front of us. What beers do you have for us?
Do you want to stab one right now?
Yes.
Or do you want to
drink
one? Yes. All right. Let's stab. Let's stab the one and only CBS.
So tell us what... For those who don't know, what's a CBS?
Shout out to Doug Dird, my friend that did the course of MBA course with me, the guy that's responsible for all Founders Barrel Aged beers. Doug teach me so much about barrel aged, and he's responsible for CBS. And unfortunately, you guys might know CBS, it's not available anymore.
What?
Yes, CBS was produced 2020 and not anymore. Maybe come back 2024, maybe not. But CBS, it's insanely brewed with a copious amount of chocolate, Belgian chocolate chips.
Ooh.
And the reason why this beer is so expensive, it's so hard to make, it's when the barrels are aging the base beer with bourbon barrel aged and the maple aged beer. A part of that, it's not barrel aged. It's mixed with this amount of chocolate And that amount of chocolate goes in fermentation and then blended to the barrel aged part. That chocolate becomes so expensive that's probably not worth it to brew anymore.
Wow.
That makes sense, though.
So sad.
So I think we should pour it into our glasses, try it, and then, Marcia, you want to come around and stab it?
So I think we should stab that. And Doug, if you're hearing this, love you, man. Miss you a lot.
We should make a strip that says, I think I should stab that.
You got to stab that.
No, I probably shouldn't. Unless there's a beer in it.
So let's open the CBS.
Ooh, man. Oh, that's sexy.
Oh, get that sound in there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this beer is so amazing.
Got a nice 750 bottle,
beautiful
too.
Beautiful head.
750s. Oh. If you find a CBS anywhere you are right now, buy it.
Buy all of it.
Ooh. Chocolate maple. Okay.
Yeah.
Bourbon. It's...
That's just gorgeous. Oh, yeah, that chocolate's right there. No, yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Here we go. Who's recording this?
Such a dense beer, too.
Oh, yeah.
We got Holly. We're going to record this.
Right. Bottled. Okay. 10, 16, 18.
We're ready. Yeah.
So this is about almost four years old.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Go for it, Clay.
You sure?
Oh, yeah, homie.
Feel marshmallows, like you're the master. Big time.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh,
I smell that.
It makes
now.
So creamy, like hot chocolate in the morning.
Okay, I want to try
winter.
This first.
Oh, this is so insane.
Yeah, I get like
look how creamy. Look how creamy is this head.
Yeah,
try it.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh man.
We get some of that sound in the microphone.
Oh man, it took the bitterness completely out. It always does.
Yeah,
bitterness is gone. Wow, mm-mm. That's chocolate milk.
This is gonna make my beer lukewarm, which is good.
Mm. Me, it just brings out these melanoidins that like instantly turn into like toasted marshmallows with like chocolate sauce dripping off of it.
It's like a milk chocolate just dripping from a source of God.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's a great description there, Marcio. I loved it. Jason, did you get yours burned at all?
This is.
No.
It's delicious.
It was delicious.
I'm gonna try that or wait till it gets hot again. You gotta try the difference, man.
David, have you done one of these that you feel like detracted from the beer, or is this always every time?
No. Enhanced? So this is a couple examples. One of them, I did a barley wine, and it didn't make it. It actually brought out like a funk to it.
Interesting.
Like almost like a, you know how like a spontaneous fermentation kind of funk? It brought out kind of a funk in a barley wine.
Weird.
Then I did spontaneous fermentation beer. That was no bueno. Won't say where or why. And then also we stabbed Kevin's Keller beer. Was it the Keller or the Pilsner?
The Keller.
He was hell-bent on stabbing
it. I think it was Czech Pils.
Czech Pils. And Jason and I are like, no, don't fuck with that beer. And he's like, yeah, we're fucking with it. And so we stabbed it, and it took the hops out. The aroma was gone. Yeah. It was just like
like a metallic, unpleasant.
Yeah, you remember that.
It took like a great beer and made it like less than.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't always work. I think it really lends itself to Imperial Stouts.
Yeah.
I believe you need some maloidine reaction.
Yeah.
Before from the malt, so like some of the caramel notes from caramel malts or roasted malts that come to the beer, I think that was what makes this amazing.
But there's two things I've always wanted to do with them. Clay, kind of going on your question to Marcio. I wanted to have a cider. Interesting. I feel like there's...
Didn't we?
Sweet or dry?
We had Joel there and we
sweet
didn't.
Or yeah,
he'd bring cider, selfish bastard.
What about this dry? Joel, I hate thick, sweet. Fruited sour here?
Because I want some residual. Oh, Jesus Christ, those fruit beers.
You need some
Wait, we just drank sweet. A cider. Where is that?
Some sugar for sure.
But then I also want to stab one of your like peach cobbler. Because think about this.
That might be interesting.
Yeah, because I think the peach cobbler would bring it like almost a pie-like crusty, because we did your key lime pie.
Ooh, yes.
And it brought it like more pie crusty.
Yep.
So I think one of your peach cobblers, or you have another
lemon pie meringue.
The meringue would bring out that crust. And I think
with already marshmallow in the beer.
Yeah.
We might toast in that marshmallow.
So we should just go to Shades and just stab all the beers. Let's see what happens.
We should have done that on 314 on a pie day.
Let's do. Oh yeah, that's a good party. I'm teaching you guys a party trick right here. This is a fantastic party trick.
Right. Well, pie and beer day. Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm totally down. Next year, Chad. What do you think? It's your first time stabbing a beer, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, man?
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
I always thought it was kind of silly and gimmicky, but now that I'm trying it, it's actually kind of fun.
It is
it's
fun.
Really
huh?
good.
Yeah. It's. I think it. I taught Jason and Clay this. I mean, I was geeking out the whole time. And now, how many times have you stabbed beers, Clay, since then?
I think I've done probably six since that last podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Awesome.
all successful, too. I feel like every time it's brought out something that was desirable
really cool.
in the beer. Like, enhanced something that was maybe a little bit under the palate.
Mm, but, yeah, and then for me, it's especially this coffee in it, the bitterness of the coffee or the astringency goes away. And that's so weird to me, like right. how you can just take that away. So fascinating.
Wow. Mm. It adds like a certain richness to it. Just
yeah. Mm. Marcio, well done. Wait, you're a good stabber, my friend. So I got a question for you guys, since we're going to keep this one going for a second, between because we have the next beer we're going to try, right? Marcio, what do you want to be known for in the brewing community?
What I'm known right now and what I
no, no, no. What do you known? Want to be known for? Not what you're known for.
So... I'm a scientist to my heart. Like, I read papers every day. I read papers about beer now more than general papers. Despite my wife is still in industry, and I like try to get involved in her work somehow to understand what she's doing and read papers about, like, to help her, because we worked together on that field for so many years. I'm reading a lot of beer papers, and there's so much going on in science on biotransformation, hoptilization, how molecules and hops can be oxidized and transformed into this or that, and how yeast can metabolize that. Everybody's talking about Tyrell beers, and I've been studying Tyrell beers for, I don't know, 5 years right now. Me and Dean's our homebrew friends, and my friend has been brewing all these Tyrell beers using wine yeast and Brettanomyces for past 3 years, all testing these things. So I'm into science, and I want to be known for science guy on beer.
I like
the
that,
guy
man.
That know like Clay is saying about experimental hops. Why those hops are different? And how those hops can interact with these strains, and how can we make this totally different process and totally different beers? I go to deep in the science and go deeper and deeper and deeper to understand every single aspect of molecule and to aroma, tasting, flavors, to a process, to a beer.
That's awesome.
That's what I like
to
do.
Damn, that's deep. I think we're all sitting here like, oh, shit.
Too deep.
Yeah. Wow. I like that. Jason, same question, brother. You've been in this game for quite a while. I mean, I know outside of being on the face of cans, what do you want to be known for, my man?
That's all I want to be known for.
Stop.
Yeah. These good looks, man.
You have a good looking face.
Handsome fella, for sure.
In a weird way, I think we're saying the same thing in different ways. I am not scientific at all. I don't like dig into like what percentage of this or that, right? Very different approaches, but, it's not to say one is right or wrong. But I'm more feel, and I'm more of, like, I literally sit up in my grain room and have bites out of a bag and eat it and be like, oh, okay. And then on the fly being like, I'm going to put 20 pounds of that. And I'm not even calculating percentages. So I'm nice. Very unscientific. I'm just,
I love that.
I don't know, 20 pounds of this, 10 pounds of that. And I have that luxury, and I am aware of that. I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I'm just saying, like, I can do it because I'm basically a home brewer.
But you repeat that. You get that note.
Well, I might repeat it. Yeah.
That's the science part. Experimenting, no. But repeating.
I fucking respect the science. I respect it. I am not the science guy, though. I'm the other end of it. I'm the yin and your yang. And I love you. And you made the best beef I've had maybe ever, you know? Like, so, no. We're very different that way, but it's not to say, like I said, no one way is like, oh, that's what you do.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but what I do is I go in with a feel of, I don't know, you know, taste some grain, like chew it in my mouth for a minute, and then, yeah, that seems good.
Yeah.
Throw some of that in. And I have low risk, though. I have very luxury job in that regard, you know. Yeah. 7 barrels, probably be gone if I'm lucky in 3 to 4 weeks, and then on to the next one.
Yeah.
No one's holding me to account for each batch being the same, whatever. So, did I answer the question?
In your own way, yes, you did.
Hey, yeah. I keep saying his has the dream job.
Yeah. It is. But I feel I'm looking at it from my end. Clay, Chad, you can whatever pitch in if you want. But I see both your guys' point of view, and I would like that happy medium.
I can't do what I do without the science guys, though, right? Because, like, the guys at the UBC, the Utah Brewers Cooperative, right? They're always, I get my yeast from them, for example, right? So I have the luxury. I drive 2 miles down the street and get, like, really healthy, well-propagated, scientific yeast where you let a dipshit like me take care of it for too long. probably not going to be as good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm in a really sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I have, like, a truly scientific team that I get to draw on to go play around. And
yeah, but you're also like that Gordon Ramsay-esque when it comes to, I'm going to taste.
I scream at people.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's fucking raw!
I feel like brewers and chefs, it's always been this, you know, trying to find this perfect balance of science meets artistic, you know, creativity. And I feel like listening to the two of you for the last 5 minutes, it's that perfect, like you said, that yin and yang. It's that creativity, artistic side meets that scientific approach. And I feel like every brewer lands somewhere on that scale.
Yeah. And one is not more correct than the other or wrong or right.
They work together.
And that's why I think collaboration might be in the works. That sounds amazing. A scientist to Gordon Ramsay this over guy. Here.
Always. That's my favorite thing about brewing is there's so many different ways to do different things.
So many people. Like,
yeah, everybody's got their own methods. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun having the community we have because we're all good friends. We all get to see each other's methods. And like, well, I'm going to try that here. That didn't work for me. Like, did for you. Like, oh, maybe I'll try this. Like,
yeah.
Whatever, we're always experimenting and trying new shit. And there's
that's
no
why
wrong.
Collaborations need to happen more often.
Yeah.
They really
agreed.
Do. Because we can learn so many from people. Yeah. And it's great.
And it's not competitive at all. It's all just like, oh, I like how you do things here. Like, I like how you do things. Everybody has their own little thing. We all like to drink each other's beer.
I'm never going to go a step ahead if I don't have someone experimenting and see, like, hey, I'm not going to wait this. I'm going to see how it goes. It goes okay. Then you start recording, and then the scientific method is going to enter after that. Like, let's make this consistent, and let's move on.
Right.
And understand why later. But it's hand-to-hand together to get those products a better product.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. So, boys, I say we stab our last beer. Which one we stab in? I kind of want to do...
Oh, you don't want to stab Tuesday. This? You want to stab this?
No. They're probably not.
I have a Mexican lager. Let's do a Mexican lager.
Yeah, let's stop the Mexican lager.
No. Let's not open Black Tuesday for the last beer of the
day. Yeah, this is no. So, because what's the other one Marcio has for Trillium Nectarine?
Whew,
that one could be interesting. So,
well,
let's stab this. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to stab a Funky Buddha.
Oh.
Funky Buddha Mexican Coffee. It's a tequila barrel aged in pure stout with coffee and cinnamon added.
See. Oh, okay. Tequila barrel amazing. Might come through really well. I'm actually really curious about this one.
Let's see how that goes. So, Funky Buddha, for the ones who are listening to us right now, it's a Florida brewery. They got bought by Constellation.
Oh. Our favorite.
Welcome to the family.
But I visited them a year and a half ago, and they're still making phenomenal beers. If you have a chance to drink the maple bacon porter.
Yum.
It's unbelievable. Those guys make really good stouts and porters. In Florida.
Oh, that's like
Cigar City.
Cigar City. Yeah, Hanapu.
They make some really, really good.
Jay Wakefield.
On the nose.
Tequila is coming through way more than I thought it would.
Yeah, like I'm smelling tequila barrel, like right there and there.
Yeah, I thought that tequila might be some underneath little flavor you'd have to search for. But no, holy cow, it is right up your nose.
Stab away, Marcio. Stab away. When's the last time I told a Brazilian to stab away? It's scary.
There you go. Good one.
Mm. I like the cinnamon. I mean, what do you boys think?
Definitely with both these two beers now, like your common theme is that marshmallow kind of flavor aroma.
Before the heat hits, it's a so tequila prominent and the cinnamon is like present, but not overpowering. Mm-hmm. But definitely there's no marshmallow. It smells.
This is...
Yeah, always does the toasted marshmallow.
I think, Clay, to answer your question, I think this is a beer I actually preferred pre-stabbed.
Oh, yeah?
I do. I like the complimentary of the barrel with the cinnamon. And I think this takes away from the barrel. I think it takes away from the tequila barrel. I think it takes away from the cinnamon. Still great. I like the marshmallow aspect of it, but... I liked it before.
Yeah, the tequila to me is what made this stand out as a beer.
I think it's almost gone, man.
We fucked up.
I mean,
what do you guys think? I'm probably an anti-stabber. I prefer to let a beer warm on its own. It's interesting. It is. But for me, it's almost always like just a marshmallow pop. Not much else. But if I had any of these beers and just let it warm in my hand for like, you know, half hour, then I'd probably sit and, you know, geek out on what they taste like.
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to change as it breathes.
It's cool.
Clay, I'm excited to see what you, because you're now going to about try it.
Yeah. Post. So I got my nose in there right after Marcio pulled the hot rod out of it, and all the tequila, like, went straight up my nose.
Hot rod.
So, like, I wonder if that's what happened to all your guys' tequila aroma.
Yeah, Marcio's hot rod can do that to
you. Yeah, the tequila and, like, Moscow come after, like, the smoked tequila kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right. The tequila definitely became a, you know...
Remember that underlying,
I'm not
going
to say non-existent, but it is not very prominent anymore.
Yeah. As it was prior to, right?
Right. Mm. And maybe to Jason's point, that would have happened over the course of the next, you know, 20 minutes had we let these sit.
Yeah.
Mm. Marcio, what do you think about this one?
Again, the tequila become a mezcal for me. So you get all the smokiness of the tequila kind of thing. Marshmallow. Always we're going to mention that. I think marshmallow is the biggest thing we're going to have from poking beers. All the caramelization of dark malt. That is what we're going to get.
Marshmallow,
Cinnamon is really low, which is a surprise. Mm. I'm expecting more cinnamon come through.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Interesting. All right, gentlemen. One last question for each of you.
Ooh, okay.
I know, you guys.
My favorite color is blue.
Shit.
But it's actually green. I lied.
Black. Chad, I'm going to start with you, if you don't mind me asking this question. What makes you feel accomplished when it comes to sitting in a group of brewers?
I don't know. Just enjoying their company, you know, just being able to drink a lot of good beer and talk and nerd out and
It's enough for me.
Yeah, I like that. Jason, when it comes to sitting with a bunch of brewers, we all come from different levels of brewing, different experiences. What's something that you want to take from each of us?
I honestly, almost every day, I feel like I'm the least technical brewer in the city, for sure. And state, probably. Like, so I just try to listen and learn, you know, science and people that understand how to run, like, a business or start a brewery. Like, I'm always like, fuck, man, congrats. Like, you've said it 100 times. Like, I hit the sweet spot where I kind of don't have to care about that shit, which I like. Sorry not to rub it in, but when I hear these other guys, I'm like, that's what it's like to grow up, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love where I am, but it may not last forever. So I'm always like, I should probably pay attention.
Gotcha. Yeah. Marcio, what's something that you've learned today from any of us brewers today?
And always is two points for me. Always learning different aspects of brewing. So there's people with nano breweries putting beer over there with one barrel, two barrels, direct to the public. And there's guys putting 550,000 barrels a year nationwide. So learn from both are fucking like, you learn how different things can be. So that's one side. Another side is the friendship. Like, be with friends is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, every time I go to, I don't go much to this guy's place, but I go to Clay place all the time. And like, why go there? Well, I'm going to go there to get 2 bags of dextrose. And, hey, how you doing?
Shoot the shit with Clay.
Hey, yeah. I want to see how you're doing. Like, what's happened? What's new?
Yeah.
I want to be friends. And I'm like, I should go more to your places. I definitely need to go more.
I've seen
everybody
there.
Places.
Fine.
I go to your place. Whoa, I have to say this. If you guys don't know anything about cheese curds, I'm addicted to cheese curds. And Hopkins has the best cheese curds in the city.
Delicious.
Hands Thanks. Down.
They're dangerous for sure.
And I'll say this. To
have
the
you
state.
Had our cheese curds?
To the state. They're hand to hand, like head to head to the Roosters. So you guys are the best cheese curds in the city.
Oh, thanks.
Wow, there Appreciate you go. That's a bold statement.
But again, it's a
Hell
delicious
yeah.
cheese curds. But this is a friendship. Like, go to a place, hang out, go there, drink a coffee, drink a beer, go yeah. there, sit down. Hey, what's going on? What's the new thing? Hey, do you learn any new process? Hey, I have this fruit from this company.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, it's a friendship that it doesn't matter for the owners. We're talking about 4 breweries here that were not owners. Other Hopkins is the owner. But we still, we're not, we're like, but we still, he's hands-on.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
not the owner that's right now is keying on Park City or whatever.
Sure.
You know, we're like, we're all hands-on.
Yeah.
So we are the guys there every day there working and like, hey, what's going on? What's you have new things for us? Yeah, I found out this product on this place. Let's try. Let's share that information.
Yeah.
So I think the friendship it's way more important than yeah, how many cans per minute can you run in a machine?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's Fuck flexing. Yeah, that's, I get it.
Yeah.
I just want to add like that's one of the things that like we don't give a shit about. Like nobody cares like what you're selling or anything like that. It's just like we just like to drink each other's beer, and yeah. it's fun. Like
and geek out to each
when
other.
When you see right. other brewers come to my place, or you go, like I've gone to Keto's, I'm seeing Marcelo there, and you know we go. I'm Fisher TF. Like you go to those places, and there's always a bunch of brewers. Like at each brewer you go to, you're always yeah. gonna run into another mm-hmm. brewer, and it's such a badass community. Mm-hmm. And we just want to drink all the beer. Yeah.
We just gotta get out more. That kind of happens.
Yeah,
which is really cool for Utah. We heard this so many times from other people in the industry say how Utah is different.
We have a great community.
Well, when Jason was brewing, like what was the smallest brewery around when you started?
Smallest when I started,
there was probably like 5 breweries back then.
Yeah, it was like us and Red Rock.
Yeah, was Hoppers around at the time?
And Desert Edge, right?
Desert Edge was around. Hoppers.
Uinta?
Uinta was definitely around.
Yeah, we had 20, 26, yeah. 27. Yeah.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of really small places. Yeah. We were all really small back then. Yeah,
right.
In a way.
So imagine now, like, where we can go and, like, hey.
Yeah. Let's see our friends there.
And we still need more brews.
Like, we need more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in Utah County. What? Anyway, Clay,
more beer.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, Clay, I want to ask this question. From today, what's something you've learned today sitting with four other brewers that you're going to take back to your own personal brewery?
Ooh, something I've learned today. You know, nothing's really coming to mind that I'm taking back to the brewery. The biggest thing I'm taking from today, though, is honestly spending time with Mr. Stock over here. I don't know. I feel like...
Don't ever do that.
I mean, I feel like it's... when I was coming up through the homebrew scene, I would have, you know, given a limb to spend an hour with Jason Stock. And I'm feeling very honored to be here right now. You know, I should have brought this beer with me. I have a beer that Rare Barrel out of Berkeley released a few years ago. God, it's probably 10 years ago, honestly, at this point. Called Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And I feel that way a little bit around Jason, you know?
You stop. You're here.
I want to add something. One of my desires, it's brew one day a beer with every single brewery in the state.
Yes.
Yeah, I want a seat in that mash tun for 8 hours of ketos and like watch the process. I'm like, holy shit, this is how I do it. Okay. Next day, I go to Hopkins and I'm going to brew on this 5-7 barrel system. And like, this is completely different than what I do in my 30. It's what Clay did. And I want to go to Uinta on those 120 brown count system automatically, like, holy shit, this is complete. I want to do this with every single brewery. I wish breweries allow us to do that.
I'll allow you.
Oh, yeah. I'm into it.
I'll hand you
fun.
The boat or you can mash in.
I feel like I'm most just people asking, would let you do it.
I want to do it. Invite me.
Yeah, I feel like the Utah brew scene is what it is because of what Jason and Jen did at Squatters.
I agree.
Well,
you can argue it, Jason. I understand where you're coming with it. And you are a very humble individual, but you being here is fantastic. And I'm glad you came out here because you are awesome. You are. You really are. I look up to each and every one of you. That's why you guys are here at this table. Marcio, thank you so much for hosting today.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure. Amazing food.
Yeah, and we'll come back any fucking time. If you say the word, we'll come.
My pleasure.
Steak and sausage.
Yeah, it was awesome. But gentlemen, thank you so much. I look up to, because you guys are sitting here, I feel a very novice compared to you guys. Like, I am new to the scene in a way. But if I could brew with you guys, if I could brew, learn from anything from you guys, like, I'm sitting here in awe. Right, sure, this is a podcast. I don't want to talk about, I have four amazing artists in front of me, and being in the same table and being able to call each other friends, brothers, it's beautiful. And I don't want to ever ruin that at any point. So if you guys ever need something, I'll come mash you in the Bodor. I'll come mash, you know, whatever sour. We got a sour idea, I know.
Yes.
Clay, come on, homie, let's hang out. Let's and then Chad, like, I would love to make a collab. We talked about it, but you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, we got something.
But that's what I want to do is just, you guys, I'm not going to let go of, because this community is not to be fucked with. So, gentlemen, again, thank you so much for spending your precious Sunday here hanging out with us. And, Marcio, I can't thank you enough for teaching us Brazilian culture. And, I'm never going to Connell's again. Thank you.
Hey, I'm open here for every single summer episode to be recorded here.
That sounds awesome. But, gentlemen, do you have anything else for us today?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, Clay. Anytime, man.
And thanks, Marcio, for barbecuing.
Yeah, thanks for the Brazilian food.
Yeah, food is awesome. Lots of fun new beers that we brought.
And the beers, gentlemen. Thanks for everyone that brought the beers today. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, David, for getting us all together.
Yeah.
Thank absolutely. You for putting us together to talk. This is amazing. I wish we could
I'm
do
good
this
at it
every
for
week.
Some reason. I don't know why. But you guys somehow listened to me when I asked you to come hang out. So thanks for listening. But gentlemen, on that note, until our next beverage, my friends.
Cheers.
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 This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram
at @_Tastemasters on Twitter, @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.